Take your Bibles this evening and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. The history of what happened at Thessalonica, you can read in Acts chapter 17. Paul went in there and preached the gospel to them. And they said wherever Paul went, there was either a riot or a revival. And that's basically what happened at Thessalonica. And some people got saved, but others got mad. And they ran Paul and Silas off, and the brethren sent them away. They went to Jason's house and drug out Jason and looking for Paul and Silas. And they said, these that have turned the world upside down, they've come here also. And the brethren sent them away by night, but these people were near and dear unto the Apostle Paul. And so he writes back to them. And chapter 1, he's greeting them and you know, thanking God for them and how, you know, their faith sounded out throughout the world and how they turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. And he's just, you know, rejoicing in them. Chapter 2, he kind of gives an insight into what it was like him personally as a missionary. And you say, well, Brother Danny, that's good, but I'm not a missionary. But I submit to you that if you have been reconciled to God, if you are justified this evening, if you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, if you've been born again, you are in fact a missionary. Someone has said you're either a missionary or you're a mission field. And I think that's the truth. God saved you to tell others about him. And so in that aspect, you're very real. You're a missionary. And so I believe if we'll follow what the Apostle Paul did, follow some of the characteristics found in Scripture, apply them to our lives, I believe we won't be vain or we won't be useless or fruitless missionaries. I propose to you this evening that a Christian must be a useful missionary. A Christian must be a useful missionary. And so let's begin to read chapter 2. Paul says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain." There's the idea of being fruitless, empty, without usefulness. And that's what Paul said, when we came into you, we weren't in vain. "But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi." Remember at Philippi, they went in there and preached. Again, they got thrown in prison wrongfully. And at night, they got to singing. And my pastor says they were singing the Jailhouse Rock, because they started singing that Jailhouse Rocked. And the jailer came in and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they told him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Anyway, the next day they said, "You can go away." And Paul and Silas said, No. "You beat us uncondemned as Romans. You can come get us out of prison." Because they were shamefully treated. Boy, they thought, "Oh, we've messed up here." But that's what Paul's talking about here. At Philippi, we were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, verse 2 here. "We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the health and strength that we have to be able to gather together in your presence this evening with brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for this opportunity to open up your word and learn from it and preach it, God. We thank you for we can do this without fear of persecution of man. We're grateful for that this evening. Father, we don't take it lightly. Father, we just look to you now that you would help us, encourage us, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. I want to be a blessing and an encouragement to those in attendance this evening. Lord, may anything that's accomplished, may it be pleasing to you. We'll give you all the glory, all the praise that's due unto your name. We worship you, we adore you this evening, Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, oh God, just move in a mighty way this evening. Thank you for this time, in Jesus' name, amen. I submit again, a Christian must not be a useless missionary. Or positively, a Christian must strive to be a useful missionary. Say, Brother McKittrick, fine, I want to do that. I'm a missionary, I realize God saved me, and I'm born again for a reason. I need to be a good, strong witness. How can I be a good witness? Well, I believe three things, three characteristics of a missionary. Found in Apostle Paul's life, if we'll apply them to our life, I think we'll be useful missionaries. First of them, and it's very deep, so hold on, is that to be a useful missionary, what's got to be primary in your life is presenting the gospel. I thought you said it was going to be deep. That's it. A useful missionary presents Christ wherever he goes. Nothing more, nothing less. Presenting Christ, telling others about Jesus, ought to be what fuels our fire in this life that we live. Just wherever you go, preach Christ to those around you. That's what the Apostle Paul did. You can read about it in Acts as he would go from Philippi, he'd preach Christ there. They'd kick him out, he'd go to Thessalonica, he'd preach Christ there. He'd go on to Berea, preach Christ there. And then he'd go to Athens, he'd be walking around the market and seeing this whole city given to idolatry. And you know what he'd start doing? Just start preaching Christ. Just try to tell others about Jesus. Tell them about the Savior. That's what we've got to do. Look at it in verse 2 there again, right in the middle part there. He says, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Verse 3 says, for our exhortation was not of deceit. When you and I share the gospel to be useful missionaries, understand that there's no error in what we're sharing. It's just the truth. Apostle Paul recognized that our exhortation was not of deceit. No error, no mental wandering here. It's the truth, amen. When you share the gospel of Jesus Christ, I pray that you'll know in your heart of hearts that what you're sharing is the truth. Man is born in sin. If you've ever had children, you know. They come out programmed that way. Mine do anyway. Now they got it from me. And I got it from my dad. And he got it from his dad. And he all the way back. Whereas by one man, sin entered into the world. And death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Hey, man's born in sin. We commit acts of sin. But God loves man. God seeks after man. God calls man. Here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Oh, the gospel message is truth. Man's a sinner. God loves man, and God provided a sacrifice. Who hath believed our report? And unto whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Oh, the glorious gospel message. It's yours and my privilege to share the truth. Just like the Apostle Paul, exhortation not of deceit, nor of uncleanness. Uncleanness has the idea of mixing it with anything. The quality of something being pure. The gospel message is not to be mixed with works, with baptism, with speaking in tongues, with joining a church. You don't mix anything with the gospel message. Amen, friend. We believe Jesus paid it all. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Don't mix it. We don't mix the gospel. And finally, he says, nor in guile. When we share gospel, the gospel truth, there's no deceit about it. You don't mix anything with it, and there's no guile. In other words, there's no trick. There's no bait. There's no hidden agenda. We don't go out sharing Christ so that we can get glory, or so that we can pad our pocketbooks, or so that we can have anything. Paul said there's no guile in preaching Christ. No guile in this thing. A little bunny and a little snake were traveling down the road one day, and they ran into each other, but they were so little, neither one of them knew what they were. So they said, well, if we'll describe each other, we'll know what we are. And the little bunny said, great, okay, you describe me first. So the little snake said, well, you are you're small and fluffy and white. You've got long ears. Looks like you got long whiskers. And there's a little cottontail on your backside. The little bunny started hopping around. He was so excited. He said, I know what I am. I'm a little bunny. And he was so excited. And so the little snake said, okay, my turn. Describe me. So the little bunny said, well, you're long and slimy. You got a forked tongue, beady eyes, and looks like some diamonds or something on you. And the little snake started to cry. He said, oh, no, I'm a TV evangelist. You got to watch those guys. They're the type who want to have guile. They got it mixed in with them. They preach the gospel, but you send me $56 and I'll send you 56 blessings kind of thing. The Bible knows nothing of that. When you preach Christ, know that it's the truth and you're not mixing anything with it and there's no hidden agenda behind it. We just get the privilege to preach Christ. I submit to you to be a useful missionary. What's got to be number one in your life is just presenting Christ wherever you go. So I ask you, when was the last time you passed out a gospel tract? Does your coworker know you're a Christian? Does your classmate, do they know you're a Christian? Does your bank teller? How's your witness this evening? That's the key. Characteristic, useful missionary, and I know it's deep, but to be useful, you've got to preach Christ wherever you go. Second characteristic I think we can find in verse 7 and 8. Paul says, we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. I think the second characteristic of a useful missionary is an ability to love other people. It's got to be there. That's what the Apostle Paul said. We were gentle among you. We cherished you. We were willing to have imparted not the gospel of God, but our own souls unto you. Because you were dear unto us, affectionately desired. Those are words that says, I loved you. Not the kind of Hollywood love that we're all bombarded with and the music and all that, which is a lust. Which is a give me, give me, give me. That's not what the Bible's talking about. Paul says, I wanted to give to you. Not a give me, give me, but let me give to you. Bible love is a love that gives. Willing to give of yourself to help someone else. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I quoted it earlier. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Christ said, By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. To be a useful missionary, we got to be able to love other people. We got to be willing to set ourselves aside and give to other people. Apostle Paul said it, I mean, you can read it, affectionately desirous, we were willing to have imparted, that's a giving there, not to you the gospel, unto you, not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Love is given as an attribute of any good servant of God, to be affable, mild, kind, gentle, you know, love, loving people. Where, if someone were to rate your love this evening, if your spouse was to rate your love this evening, on a scale from 1 being no love to 10 being all kinds of love, where would you rate? Where would you rate? Where would she rate you? Where would he rate you? Not talking about lust here, we're talking about I'm willing to give myself to help you. I'm willing to give myself to help other people. I'm willing to give of myself. I count not my life dear unto myself. Love. Love. That's the second characteristic of a useful missionary. First of all, you've got to preach Christ. Second of all, you've got to love people. And then finally, look at verse 10. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. To be a useful missionary, you got to preach Christ, you got to love people, but listen, you got to live a holy life. Amen. It's got to be there. You got to live a life of holiness, a life of separation from the world. And this is not a popular topic today for some reason, but it's nevertheless in the Bible. Apostle Paul says, we behaved ourselves. How did you behave yourselves? He says, holily. In chapter 4, verse 7, I believe it is. Yeah, Paul says, God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. There's an air in our movement today that kind of says we need to be like the world. We need to be more like the world. But the Bible says that's what God called you to do. Amen. God did not call us to uncleanness. God has called you and God has called me to holiness. Amen. To being different, to being separated from the world. My pastor says it's okay if the boat gets in the water, but be careful when the water starts getting in the boat. We're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. Separated. I'm not talking about isolation. I read a good quote, I think, about Wiersbe. He said, separation is not isolation. It's contact without contamination. It's not that we go over and hide behind some hole and say, I've got to get away from the world and I can't have any contact with the world and just isolate ourselves behind some bush. No. It's being in the world and contacting with the world, but not being contaminated by the world. Separation, being a holy vessel unto God. That's what we need. To be a useful missionary, you've got to be different. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Would holiness be an adjective that could be used to describe you this evening? Paul says, your witness is how holily and justly and unblameably justly, the idea of treating everyone the same way, equitable, don't matter if you're black, white, yellow, red, old, young, male, female, I preach Christ to anybody. Holiness, treating people right, being separated from the world, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. I'll receive you. God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Be ye holy, as I am holy. Oh, there's a great need in your life and in my life to just decide to be a useful missionary, God helping me, I'm going to be separated from the world. I want to live a holy life unto God. Amen. I don't care what man says. It's not my intent. I'm trying to please the Lord because I believe from the Word of God and the testimonies of those that have gone before me that to be a useful missionary and to have God's power on my life, I must be a holy vessel. I must be separated. Can't be arm in arm with the world, entangled with the world. God help us to be like that. Would holiness be an adjective used to describe you this evening? Holiness. He's holy. She's holy. Would that be used to describe you? Would it be describe me? May God help us. Those are three characteristics. And in closing, listen, they all go together. Watch this. You can't preach Christ with a heart of love, willing to give of yourself, but then on Saturday night be out drunk somewhere. Doesn't work like that. When your testimony and when you're not living a holy life, it just negates everything that you've tried to work on. You can't preach Christ all the time, live a holy life, but be ornery as a cuss. Your attitude stinks. People at work don't like you, don't want to be around you. Hey, you can preach Christ all you want, and you can live all you want, but if you don't have love in your heart and willing to give of yourself, people don't want that. That's not what Apostle Paul said. He said, we affectionately desired among you. We were gentle among you. As a nurse, we were willing to have imparted our own soul unto you. Love. You can't love, give yourself, live a holy, separated life, but never speak. I'm all for lifestyle evangelism, sure. But listen, the testimony of the Apostle Paul was we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel. They all go together. They all go together, preaching Christ with a love for people and living a holy, separated life. Amen. You and I want to be useful missionaries. I think that's what's got to be there. So I challenge you this evening, how's your witness? How's your love? Are you holy? Will God help us to be so?